So today's class is given by His Grace Shamik Rishi Prabhuji on Srimad Bhagavatam 4.4.16. Thank you, Prabhuji, for joining this call and giving us all your association. Now it's over to you. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak about Srimad Bhagavatam, which is always very auspicious, and spending that time with devotees is topmost in devotional service. So I'm thankful to everyone. Please accept my humble obeisances. Vancha kalpataru bhesya kripa sindhu evacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama. Namao Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Dishtarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So text number 16, Sati quits her body. Canto 4, chapter 4, the verse is, Kimva Shivakhyam Ashivam na vidus tvadanne Brahma dayastam avakirya jata samshane Tanmalya bhasmandrak palya vasat pishachai Ye murdha bhir dadatita charnava srastam. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation, do you think that greater, more respectable personalities than you, such as Lord Brahma, do not know this inauspicious person who goes under the name of Lord Shiva? So, this is spoken by Sati to Daksha Prajapati and all the assembled devotees there who were attending the fire sacrifice. So she's kind of like a sarcastically way that do you think that Brahma, who respects Lord Shiva, does Brahma does not know who is Lord Shiva and you know him more? So in this way she's speaking to Daksha, her own father. He associates with the demons in the crematorium. His locks of hair are scattered all over his body. He is garlanded with human skulls and is smeared with ashes from the crematorium. But in spite of all these inauspicious qualities, great personalities like Brahma honor him by accepting the flowers offered to his lotus feet and placing them with great respect on their heads. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. So this is Sati is telling, these are like, although she is telling that there are inauspicious signs, but Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Na Bujhe Na Janiya means nobody understand or can understand that should think why Vaishnava acts in certain particular way. Their mind is always absorbed in Krishna and they may act in a way that may be beneficial for whole society or whole humanity. So Lord Shiva accepted all this to give shelter to the bhutas who have no body, to the half goblins, to the so many different lower species who are addicted to so many things. So he gives shelter to them. There is no another like Krishna unless they are pure in the heart. He does not give them shelter. Although he is the father and he does give them shelter, but first your mind has to be on this. There has to be certain purity before even giving initiation. We tell them to be away from this sinful activity. No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit relation. But most of the people in this Kali Yuga are fallen. So who will support them? Who will give them? By following, and Lord Shiva lives in such places that this kind of people could easily go there and take shelter of him. And gradually they are purified by his association. So people do not know and they criticize him for such reason, and particularly her own father, Daksha, was telling all these things. But by Saraswati there is another meaning that we talked about in previous classes, that whatever Daksha was telling, they are auspicious signs for Lada Shiva. So in purport, it's a little bit long, 1.5 page purport, so we will discuss as we go along. It is useless to condemn a great personality like Lord Shiva, and this is being stated by his wife Sati to establish the supremacy of her husband. First she said, you call Lord Shiva inauspicious because he associates with demons in crematorium, covers his body with the ashes of the dead, and garlands himself with the skulls of human beings. You have shown so many defects, but you do not know that his position is always transcendental. Although he appears inauspicious, why do personalities like Brahma respect the dust of his lotus feet and place on their heads with great respect those very garlands which are condemned by you? So since Sati was a chaste woman and the wife of Lord Shiva, it was her duty to establish the elevated position of Lord Shiva, and not only by sentiment but by facts. And she's not just telling just because he is her husband, but she's narrating all those qualities of the Lord, although Daksha was thinking that they are not a good qualities. But she proved them by narrating them, not by just deliberating them, by the exact facts, exact description. So same thing, people may see something inauspicious, something wrong from outwardly, but they have to deliberate, they have to talk, they have to see from the scripture, and in so many ways, not just deciding in our own mind, and we tell ill or think ill about some Vaishnava in our mind, it will pollute her. Just like Daksha, out of envy, he was thinking in that way. So Lord Shiva is not an ordinary living entity. Although he was born from the nostril of Brahma, but he is the Varahadev. This Lord Shiva was born from the eyebrow, or in between the eyebrow of the Brahmaji, but nonetheless, so he is the son of Brahma, but nonetheless he is more exalted than Lord Brahma. He is neither on the level of supreme personality of Godhead nor on the level of the ordinary living entities. Brahma is in almost all cases an ordinary living entity. Sometimes when there is no ordinary living entity available, the post of Brahma is occupied by an expansion of Lord Vishnu. So there is sometime same thing, Lord Shiva is sometime like elevated, not like Lord Shiva is never a Jiva soul, but Brahma is. If one performs 100 times Varnashram Dharma very, very properly, he could take the position of Lord Brahma. Like Indra's position, if somebody has done 100 Ashwamedh Yajnas, like kings used to perform, and Indra always becomes very disturbed when somebody is doing 99 Yajnas. So he will obstruct so that they don't complete 100. Satakratu is his name. Kratu means that is one the Yajna performance, and Shata means 100. If one does 100 times Ashwamedh Yajna properly, then they could be elevated, or they could get the position of Lord Indra, Lord of all the master of all the demigods. So same thing, Lord Shiva's position is appointed by Vishnu, and although he is born, but there is always Sadashiv in the spiritual kingdom. So Sadashiv's expansion is here as Lord Shiva, or you may say Shankara also, Shiva, Shankara, Ashutosh, Nilkanthi, he has so many names, and the Rudras are further expansion from Lord Shiva. So he is not an ordinary person, he is more superior to Lord Brahma, but generally this post is occupied by a greatly pious living entity within this universe, that is about the Brahma. Thus Lord Shiva's position is constitutionally higher than that of Lord Brahma. Although Lord Shiva appears as the son of Brahma, here it is mentioned that even personalities like Brahma accept the so-called inauspicious flowers and dust of the lotus feet of Lord Shiva. Great sages like Marichi, Atri, Bhrigu, and the others among the nine great sages who are descendant of Brahma also respect Lord Shiva in such a way because they all show that Lord Shiva is not an ordinary living entity, because he is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna for thousands and thousands of years, that he will meditate on the Supreme Lord, Sankarshan. So that is his... So all the time he is thinking of the Lord, and when this kind of people, they come to take shelter, he gives them the blessing, he gives them the association and instructs them, so they get purified. In many Puranas, it is sometimes asserted that a demigod is elevated to such a high position that he is almost on an equal level with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the conclusion that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead is confirmed in every scripture. Lord Shiva is described in the Brahma Samhita to be like curd or yogurt. Curd is not different from milk, since milk is transformed into curd. In one sense, curd is also milk. Similarly, Lord Shiva is in one sense the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but in another sense he is not, just as curd is milk, although we have to distinguish between the two. These descriptions are in the Vedic literature. So just from this Brahma Samhita, about this particular verse that we can read, Shiram yathadadi vikara vishesha yogat sanjayate hi natatah pratagasti hetoho yasham bhutam api tatha samupayati karyat govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. So just like the milk, when it comes in touch with acid substance, then it becomes yogurt. But same yogurt, the cause of the yogurt is milk. So it is separate and it is the same also, because it came from milk. It is made from milk. So it is milk only. There is no difference except that it touched some acid substance. So for certain purpose, it just says that, Shasambhu tam api tatha samupait. So to do the work for the Lord Vishnu or Krishna, he changes his form. Lord Shiva is in one sense, he is not exactly like Vishnu Tattva. He is in between, he is separate, like yogurt is separate from milk, but still it is milk because it is just contains only the substance what milk has it. But to cause the purpose for Govinda, Adi Purush Govinda, he takes this position of Lord Shiva, and through him, Lord Shiva, when there is a Prakriti or Pradhan, and all the substances of the material world is there in Pradhan, everything. And then this Pradhan, by look of the... So Vishnu wants to impregnate. Vishnu means that is expansion from... Vishnu is expansion from Sankarshan, or Sankarshan is expansion from Lord Baldev. So by seeing, he wants to put like all the living souls, souls in the, not living, just souls into this Prakriti. So he looks to the Prakriti, he does not come in contact with the material nature. So he sees through Lada Shiva. Yes, Shambhu Tamapitatha Samupaiti Karyat. So the Karya is to impregnate this Prakriti with so many Jiva souls. So Jiva souls can take birth. And the bodies are given by Brahma, which comes from Garbhodakshai Vishnu. So for that purpose, he is separated from Vishnu. Because of the amla or acidity, this milk is transferred. So this is for certain purpose, that Govinda, he takes the form of Lada Shiva. But Lada Shiva, you may say then Lada Shiva and Krishna or Vishnu is the same. No, once it is separate, it has become separate. Like say, a child and the father. You may say the child comes from the father. The womb is the place where the mother gives substances, like the Prakriti is giving the substances. But it is ultimately the seed comes from the father. But ultimate seed is Krishna. And so this is just a via media. And then father or son is different also, because there is a different soul. So same way, this Shiva is not, we cannot say that Shiva is exactly Krishna. But still it is made, it is form of Krishna, just they come for certain different purpose. Like so many incarnations, they come from Krishna, but they are Vishnu Tattva, but Shiva is exactly, not exactly Vishnu Tattva, but his, from where he comes, Sadashiv, that is Vishnu Tattva. So Krishna does not want to come in touch with material nature. So he comes through the agency of Lord Shiva. And nature or Prakriti, and in charge of the Prakriti is Durga Devi. Prakriti is represented by Durga Devi. And then Durga Devi is the mother for all the universe, and the father is Lord Shiva. But ultimately the father is Krishna. All the Jiva soul, he just injects through Lord Shiva. into the material nature. Just like Chintamani, a touch stone, touches so many iron and it makes into gold. But it does not mean that they become Chintamani. It comes from, the gold has come from Chintamani or touch stone, but it is separate. So same thing. And Kalpa Vraksha also, so many things they come from Kalpa Vraksha. But Kalpa Vraksha and things that come, they are different. That Govinda, that he is, when it is separated in avikrat form without any contamination, he is Govinda. But when he is contaminated by yogurt, then he is Lord Shiva. By, like when he is transformed into yogurt. Eko Havai Purusho Narayana Asina Brahma Nacha Shankara. So in the beginning there was only Krishna. And then from Krishna, so neither there was Brahma nor Shiva, nothing was there. So and at the end, after the annihilation, then only what would be left would Krishna. So that is very clearly explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly 2.9.33-34 verses, those Chatushloki Bhagavatam, that how there was only Krishna and then from him everything is created. Aham sarvasya prabhava matta sarvam pravartate. Everything came from me and he supports all of them and then he takes all of them vilin like at annihilation, then everything comes back again on Mahavishnu, who is from Sankarshan, and Sankarshan comes from Balram, and Balram is an expansion from Lord Krishna. So Hari and Shiva takes like Shiva has he takes Vaikarik, Tejas or Tamas because of the Ahankar, and then because he is in charge of the Maya Shakti or Tamogun, he becomes different than Lada Shiva. And his Ishwaratva, means his Godhoodness or his energy, is because of the Supreme Lord. We cannot call the Lada Shiva to be independent of Lada Vishnu or Brahma or any other demigods. One can give respect to the demigods, but demigods cannot give us any liberation or take to our own abode. So we have to directly worship Krishna, who is our eternal father. Mamai Vanshu Jiva Loke. So we are all, Jiva is part of Krishna. So Brahmaji is saying that because of, by Krishna's energy, I am creating Srajan. And Shiv, living under the Krishna, then he does all this annihilation, samhar karta. So, and Vishnu, Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh, so he also gets energy from Krishna. Even Balramji was bewildered when he saw that how the cow, after 1 year, he did not know that it is the, that all these calves and the children who are their friends, they are all Krishna. He did not even know. So until and unless Krishna wants us to know, we cannot realize him. So we should pray to him so we know him, we could see him, we could feel for him, or we could get our loving relation. So we have to act according to the Vedic injunction, then we could be close to Krishna. So in this way, his position is being described in all the Vedic scripture. So we have to distinguish between these two. These descriptions are in the Vedic literature. Whenever we find that a demigod occupies a position apparently more elevated than that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is just to draw the devotee's attention to that particular demigod. It is also stated in Bhagavad Gita 9.25 that if one wants to worship a particular demigod, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is sitting in everyone's heart, gives one greater and greater attachment for the demigod, so that one may be elevated to the demigod's abode. Yanti Devavrata Devan. So, by worshipping demigods, one can elevate himself to the abodes of the demigods. Similarly, by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can be elevated to the spiritual kingdom. This is stated in different places in Vedic literature. So, we will talk about this, that how Krishna focuses our mind on this on demigod, and why does he do so? Although demigod worship is inferior, it is not the same as worshipping Supreme Lord. But some people cannot come to Krishna consciousness directly. There is so much demigod worship in India and other places that they worship So many, even ordinary person, they make him God and they worship, and demigod, they give the position that he is. And certain, our certain Puranas also talk that they are like, say Rudra Puran or Shiv Puran, or if you read, although this Durga Puran is not there out of the 18 Puranas, somebody just gave the name Vyasadev. So they think that this Devi Puran is from, or Devi Bhagavat or whatever, but they are the newly created, they have nothing to do with Vedic literatures are written by Veda Vyas himself. And because of so many material desires, people go to demigods. They worship them. And Krishna puts your mind on that. So you could at least worship and gradually elevate, have somebody higher that you accept. Otherwise, many materialistic people, they think that they are the doer, they are the master, they are the proprietor. So they all write the names in the hotels, proprietor such and such, master such and such. But we are all servants. But at least by accepting somebody higher, then naturally they elevate, and if you worship to go to your proper destination, then demigods will advise them so. So in Bhagavad Gita 7:20, kamastaster hrtagyana prapadyante anya devataha tantam niyamam asthayak prakatya niyataswaya. Those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires surrender unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulation of worship according to their own nature. And then the Krishna is saying that I put their mind on those demigods as if they are the supreme. Yo yo yam yam tanum bhakta shraddhayarchitum icchati tasya tasyachalam shraddha tameva vidadhamyaham. I am in everyone's heart as the super soul. As soon as one desires to worship some demigod, I make his faith steady so that he can devote himself to that particular deity. Sataya shraddhaya yuktas tashyar aradhanam ihate labhate chatatah kaman mayeva vihitan hitan. Endowed with such a faith, he endeavors to worship a particular demigod and obtains his desire, but in actuality, these benefits are bestowed by me alone. And then he says that it is avidipurvak. So in this way, that this demigod worship, that even if one is going with some material desires, then it is better that he worship Krishna directly. Akamava sarva kamava moksha kam udaradhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajet purusha param. That even if you have no desire or full of desire, you go to Krishna, that is the direct, because he is our direct father. There is no need to go that I am on a lower stage, how I could come to Krishna. Those thoughts should not be coming in our mind. We could directly worship Krishna, because one can approach to his father directly, even if he is the president of the country or whatever big position or the richest man, doesn't matter. The father always loves. But the subordinate to the father, like these demigods, they may bestow you something temporarily, but they cannot bestow you what the Supreme Lord can give us. That is, to become free from this material entanglement and engage in his loving devotional service. Only by then our heart or soul would be happy, or because one has to be situated properly. Just like a bird flying in the sky, unless he is situated on a tree or on the resting place, so our resting, real resting place for the soul is at the lotus feet of the Lord. Otherwise, we cannot take rest. We'll always be in anxiety, always be in problem, and they are all temporary. The permanent thing is Krishna. So if we worship Krishna or his expansions, that is one and the same thing, that is well and good. But ultimately expansions are also subordinate. They come from Krishna. So why not to take to Krishna directly? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also advised when he was 4 months, then he advised where he was staying that you worship, why don't you worship worship Krishna, your all the brothers are worshipping Krishna. He advised to Anupam also, who was worshipper of Ram, Lord Ram. But Krishna advised him that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised him to worship Krishna because your brothers, Rup and Sanatana, are worshipping. But he said that I have given my life to Lord Ram. So those worship is not different, but it's in a different mood. one may be worshipper, but if you want to have worship as it is with awe and reverence, you could worship other expansions from Krishna, of Krishna. But if you are in Sakya Bhav, Madhurya Bhav, or parental affection, then Krishna, it is easy if you give those through Krishna, if you obtain that Krishna. And it is much easier to, because Krishna is all, means he engages in all kinds of rasas, 12 different rasas, 5 primary and 7 secondary, he does engage in all this and he enjoys all this. So we could, with Krishna it is much easier. So here Lord Shiva is praised by Sati. Partially due to her personal respect for Lord Shiva, since he is her husband, and partially due to his exalted position, which exceeds that of ordinary living entity, even Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma is ordinary living entity. He is afraid. He has to also die, take another birth. He may fall down. Ah, Brahma Bhuna Loka Punaravar. So they take Punaravarti. Puna Avarti means they again take lower species. They could come if they do not follow Krishna consciousness. One may say that can Lord Shiva can fall down like this? Lord Shiva would not fall down, but Lord Shiva like, but they, he could be bewildered by the Supreme Lord. Like in a Mohini Murti, and he was bewildered. And so that is possible. Nobody can surpass or can be equal to Krishna, even Lord Shiva. So we should put in their proper respective position while we worship. Not that Lord Shiva is God himself, I could just worship. I am a Shaivite, I am a Shakta or Durga worshipper, why? And she is giving me so much opulence. So opulence that is temporary, she may give, but she cannot give full liberation. Lord Shiva you worship, and when they were worshipped by Katyayani, so that is in the form of not Durga, but they were worshipping like Sita and Rukmini and Gopis, they did worship, but that is in the form of Yog Maya, not as Mahamaya. Both can be changed in that way, because it is the same energy of the Lord. So the position of Lord Shiva is accepted by Lord Brahma. So Daksha, Sati's father, should also recognize him. And that was the point of Sati's statement. She did not actually come to her father's house to participate in function. Although before coming, she pleaded with her husband that she wanted to see her sisters and mother. This was a plea only. For actually, at heart, she maintained that the idea that she would convince her father, Daksha, that it was useless to continue being envious of Lord Shiva. So she wanted to go as a preacher. Daksha Prajapati loved this youngest daughter, but he became inimical because Lord Shiva did not stand up, did not respect, or he thought of Lord Shiva just after the marriage that it was Brahma's fault. He was even cursing Lord Brahma, that Brahma somehow did not really consider properly and give me advice to marry my daughter. He is such inauspicious, such thing. So for a long time he was maintaining some envious nature, or some he was angry, and that is not proper. So we will see. So in the following verses it just says that how he was unable to, she did not convince. So that is the desire of a devotee, that who would like, at least in the family, he wanted that, she wanted that this Daksha Prajapati change his envious nature, change his mentality and respect Lord Shiva like his own Daksha's father Brahma was worshipping Lord Shiva, or having respect to Lord Shiva. So any time if there is a disturbance in the material universe, then Brahma takes them to Lord Shiva, and then Shiva and Brahma, if both cannot solve, then they go to the shore of the Vaikuntha planet or Shir Sagar, and then they pray to the Lord Brahma and Shiva, and then Lord gives them answer what to do. So just to summarize these things, so Sati gets a cold response from the Daksha. Sati tries to convince Lord Shiva to attend, but Shiva refuses. So then she reaches herself in the sacrificial arena, which was very splendid, and Vedic hymns were chanted, and there were sacrificial animals there, and great personalities, and so many things. But no one received Sati properly out of the fear of Daksha, except her mother and the sisters. they had tears in their eye out of affection, and they had a smiling face when she came. But Sati did not accept this seat and gifts offered to her by her sisters and mother and aunts. They all wanted to give because her father did not welcome her. So she came to convince her father. So Sati's anger on Daksha. So Sati realized that the sacrifice was devoid of any oblations for Lord Shiva. Because when you do this yajna, that is to please the demigods, and then they bestow mercy. But the chief of the demigods is Lord Shiva, and he did not, Daksha Prajapati did not have his place in the yajna, and so Sati did not like that. That is not right. So not only because Shiva's wife was also not that's the only reason that she is Shiva's wife, Daksha did not receive her properly. So Sati became greatly angry and looked at Daksha as if she were going to burn him. And Sati condemns the sacrifice. Lord Shiva's followers became ready to kill Daksha, but Sati stopped them, being angry and sorrowful. She started condemning the process of fruitive sacrifices and their proud performer like Daksha. So Sati condemns the Daksha. He would say, who except you would hate Lord Shiva, who is no superior or rival in this world? Ati Shayana, to whom no one is dear or inimical. He is Priyas, Tatha, no Priya, no Apriya. Somebody, he is equal to everybody. Who is most beloved of all? Priyatamaha, Tamana, who is the soul of all beings. Tasmin, Samastat, Mani, and is without any enmity. Mukta, Vairake, no Vairi. Vairi means one who is an enemy. So, Sadhu and Asadhu, Sadhus like Lord Shiva find no fault in others and others' qualities, but they magnify even a meager good quality of others in others. But a man like you simply find faults even in great souls. So, you are Asadhutama. So, there are four qualities, there are four kinds of sadhus and four kinds of asadhu. Their degree, their different levels of sadhus and asadhus. So sadhus accept even faults in others. Even there are faults in others, since the faults can eventually be transformed by certain method into good qualities. So they accept the people who has the fault, not that they reject like the Daksha Prajapati was rejecting even Lord Shiva. Mahatara, so sadhu, then there is Mahatara, Mahattama and Ati Mahattama. So Ati Mahattara sadhu is overlooks the faults, sees the good qualities. And then Mahattama sadhu takes a small good qualities and magnifies them, not seeing small faults. And Ati Mahattama sees good qualities in others where there are none, he still sees the good qualities. Like Srila Prabhupada, he was the sadhu of Ati Mahattama. He would see the good qualities and just spark them and make it bigger. But even if there are no qualities at all, even drunkards or whatever they are, drug addicts, he took them and gave them so much position. Immediately, you become temple president. Even if they just join, you go and open temple in Germany, you open temple in such and such place, or preach, or give lecture. So immediately he gave that, and by his mercy they could conduct that. And Asadhu, their category, there are also, so they think that someone good qualities will turn into faults. So they see always faults, even if they are good qualities, like this Daksha was doing. A sadhutara see faults only, overlooking the good qualities. They just see the faults. Just like the fly, they sit in a dirty place. They, even if there is some good places, they would not sit there. Asadhutama means it is asadhutara, tama and uttama. So asadhu takes a small faults and magnifies them, seeing no good qualities at all. And ati asadhutama sees only faults in others, even where there are no faults. Just like there is no fault in Lord Shiva, but this Daksha is seeing all the good qualities. So dust of a Vaishnava should be taken, and rather than criticizing Lord Shiva's name and conduct as actually being inauspicious, he should have taken the dust from the lotus feet of Lord Shiva on his hand. And so Lord Shiva's name purifies one of all sinful activities. Nama agham asu anti. And Lord Shiva's order is never neglected. Alangya shashanam. And Lord Shiva's fame is pure. Pavitra kirtim. And so Lord Shiva is very auspicious. Externally, he may look in inauspicious habits, but no one, including Lord Brahma, considers that Lord Shiva is inauspicious. They carry the flowers offered to his lotus feet on their heads. Sati so far argued that one who vilifies a great personality, a lowly person, but Daksha might argue that Sati was vilifying her father, who was a great prajapati. So Sati was defending Lada Shiva, and actually she should have killed the offender Daksha instead of just vilifying him or just shouting at him. So how we should treat a blasphemer, what somebody is a blasphemer of a Vaishnava, how we should deal? We have read that several times, that either one should block the ears and leave the place if one is unable to punish him. Second is to cut the person who is blaspheming, cut his tongue and kill him, and then give up one's own life as an atonement for hearing the criticism. By killing the blasphemer, one destroys his unlimited pain in hell. So much killing is not a sin. So killing to such a person who is a Vaishnava Pradi and blasphemes all the time, like Lord Krishna, then when Shishupal, 100 times he forgave him, but still he was continuing to blaspheme Lord Krishna. Then he took his Sudarshan Chakra and cut his head out. So, if one, say, a Kshatriya should cut out the offender's tongue and kill him, Vaishya and Shudras, not qualified to punish, should commit suicide. Brahmanas, not proper to give up life, should cover their ears, remember Vishnu and go away. So for different people, there is a different Vedic injunction that a Brahmana should not kill, that is not his job, they should just cover their head. If somebody starts blaspheming, you go away, cover your, that now he is blaspheming. If one, two words, you will understand if there is a blasphemy or there is a glorification of a Vaishnava. So they should go away. So because he was the father, although Durga killed so many demons, means as Sati, she had so much power, and so she could have killed Daksha easily, but because he was the father, she did not wanted to create this kind of commotion, and Yajna was going on, so she did not wanted to kill, but she killed herself. So Sati, the Lord's external potency, can vanquish many universes, including many Dakshas, but to save her husband from the charge that he killed Daksha through his wife, Sati gave up her own life. Now, this Daksha is accusing that Lord Shiva does not follow the Vedic rules by explaining that Lord Shiva is beyond the Vedic rules. Any such exalted Vaishnava, they don't have to follow each and every word of the Vedas. Vedas are mostly karma kand, and it's not that Lord Shiva is to follow. And so those rules are for ordinary people. Elevated transcendentalists like Lord Shiva are not obligated to follow the rules of the Vedas. Therefore, it is better to follow one's own dharma and not criticize others. Pravatti and Nivratti, Pravatti Marg, that immediate gratification of the senses, and Nivratti Marg, ultimate, that their goal is, but it takes time. So that is called Nivratti Marg, are both bona fide paths. If one wants to see these two in one person, that is contradictory, but both kinds of activity may be neglected by a person who is transcendently situated. So Daksha was thinking that although his daughter was chaste and adherent to her husband Shiva, she was living in the house of a lowly beggar, devoid of opulence. So that is completely wrong. That is, internally they had so much opulence. One may not be like Jad Bharat, means he was outwardly, he was just seen as a dull, or deaf, dumb, or with no brain at all. But nonetheless, internally he was always meditating on the Supreme Lord. He was so highly qualified. He remembered everything what he was as a Bharat Maharaj or in the deer's body. And in this, but he wanted to act so he does not get entangled with non-devotees and fall down, just he did in the deer body or as a Bharat Maharaj, when he was meditating the first time, then he wanted to protect himself. So the same way Lada Shiva lives in those places, so others don't disturb him. he did not live in the home and he was just wandering, this Jad Bharat. So Lord Shiva also does not create a big home just to be busy with the household activity. He just lived very simply underneath a tree in some Kailash mountain and just eating whatever is available, fruits and roots. So the opulences are we possess are unattainable. Avyakt linga, for people who engage in sacrifices for bodily necessities, our powers can be achieved only by self-realized souls like Kumaras and Narad. So that is the, so my body is the, this is what Sati is just saying, my body is a source of embarrassment since it comes from a person who has offended Lord Shiva. I contempt myself because of my connection with you. When Lord Shiva addresses me as Dakshayani, means Daksha's daughter, I at once become morose and lose my charming smile. Therefore, I shall give up my body because it came from Daksha. So she gave, so Sati gives up her body and a great cry arises from the sky. And then the Ribhus drive away Lord Shiva's. So Ribhus were born from Bhrigus. Bhrigu produced so many Ribhus. And Lord Shiva's also produced like one Veerbhadra. And he so many Ganas. And they cut off the head off and broke the teeth of Bhrigu. They cut off the head of Daksha Prajapati. Just to put Lord Shiva in a lower position, he did this yagya for 1,000 years. It's a completely nonsense to put somebody down. He's performing this yagya. How envious can bring you to at what level that we see by these stories or by this Bhagavad Katha? So Lada Shiva, that how is endearing to Lada Shiva? There is are certain prayers. While the Prachetas were going to the penance to please Supreme Lord, Lord Shiva appeared there before them and said that out of mercy he had shown himself to them. And so Lord Shiva explains why he was merciful to the Prachetas. It's a rare darshan. The Prabhupada is commenting that Lord Shiva and persons who are fully surrendered unto Vasudev are rarely seen by common man. Lord Shiva openly proclaims that one who is a devotee of Lord Vasudev, or who is surrendered to Lord Krishna, is actually very dear to him. Sakshat means directly. The contention that surrendering unto demigods is equal to surrendering unto Lord Vishnu is denied herein, because if it were true, Lord Shiva would have said to surrender unto himself. But he says surrender to Lord Vishnu. Durga is also saying that surrender. Lord Shiva is telling to Sati that Aradhana Nam Sarvesham, Vishnu Aradhanam Param, then it's a greater than Vishnu Aradhana is his own devotees. So a devotee of Lord Shiva is not dear to Lord Shiva, but a devotee of Lord Krishna is very dear to Lord Shiva. Because unless you are properly situated, so really Lord Shiva is a devotee of Krishna. So if you worship Krishna, automatically all the subordinates of Krishna would be happy and you could get a better result. Rather than getting from the demigods certain result, they will be very puny and they would be finished. So one should take shelter of Lord Krishna. That is the instruction of all the... So Lord Shiva is auspicious. Shankaracharya is also telling, although he taught Mayavad philosophy in Kali Yuga, Shankaracharya, but his purpose was to eradicate Buddhism. But he himself just saying later on, that Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Mudamate. So what is the relationship of Lord Shiva and Krishna? That he is the Vaishnava, Vaishnava Nam Yathashambhu. He is greatest of all the Vaishnavas. He is almost the same as him, like the yogurt we talked, is non-different from milk. He is almost on an equal level to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, possessing 84% of his qualities. And yet he is not the same. Considering Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu to be on the same level is an atheistic idea. His auspicious position is realized if one takes to the worship of Vishnu. Then we will understand all his subordinates. He is pleased with those who surrender to Lord Vasudev. He wishes to see Lord's personal form. So Anyway, we discuss about Lord Shiva, what is the position of Krishna, what is position of Sati, why Sati has done this, just to, she wanted to give lesson or teach, and she wanted to attend, that was not the main reason. The main reason for Sati to attend this Yajna Praja, this, to convince her father not to be envious of Lord Shiva. So Daksha's character is extensively revealed in this canto. He is one of Brahma's sons meant for creating progeny, and is still infant, beginning of the universe. But his character is somewhat unrefined. He first offends Lord Shiva and then silently watches while his own daughter condemns suicide. So Prabhupada is commenting that Daksha was the incarnation of all offenses and the embodiment of envy. So, anyway, this Daksha Prajapati married Swambhu Manu's daughter Prasuti and had 16 daughters, one of whom Sati was married to Lord Shiva. And he was the Prajapati, he was appointed by Chief Prajapati, by Brahma. But this only made him more proud. And that's why, because of this pride, his whole, the yajna was damaged, the Sati has to kill herself. So he had the goats ahead by the grace of Lord Shiva. Daksha came back to consciousness again with the head of a goat. So anyway, these different characters are there, different things we can learn from all this, from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we will end here, so we can discuss. So we read a little bit about the Brahma Samhita, this Bhagavatam verses, and there is more. I can tell you one story about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lada Shiva. So when he goes to Bhuneshwar, that Bhuneshwar is also called a Gupta Kashi, where Lada Shiva is living, he bathed in the Bindu Sarevar. Bindu Sarevar is the pond made by Shiva from the water of all the Tirthas. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took a bath, and then he went to see Lada Shiva, have darshan, and he danced before him. So, in the Skanda Puran, there is a story regarding the manner in which Shiva got the place called Bhuneshwar. Bhuvaneshwar is the Lord of the universe. Bhuvan means universe, and all the Bhuvan is universe, and the Ishwar means Ishwara, means controller. So, he is the Lord of the universe, like Jagannath. He is the Nath, master. Nath means master, Malik, of all the Jagat, all the universe. Same thing, this Bhuneshwar is also like that. So there is a story how Lada Shiva came to Bhuneshwar, although his original place is Kashi. So Shiva lived with Parvati in Kashi for a long time. Then he went to Kailash, and Kashi was ruled by a king by name Kashi Raj, who worshipped Shiva with great devotion and austerity. So Shiva was pleased with this Kashi Raj, and he asked him for a boon, that please ask me, I am very happy with you by your worship. And so he asked Kashi Raj in a very funny, that kindly give me the boon that I may defeat Krishna in the war. He wanted to defeat Krishna. And somehow Shiva just gave him. Although Shiva worships Lord Krishna through Sankarshan, but nonetheless he is Ashutosh, so he becomes happy and he gave that boon. Like he gave the boon to this Vrakasur, who wanted to enjoy Parvati by burning Lada Shiva. So he was running behind Lada Shiva, and Krishna protected him. So in the same way, this now he asked, so he was a very generous, and he just gave him that boon. So then this king Kashi Raj, he took an army and he started launch an attack against Krishna. And Shiva and his family, his army, followed him. The omniscient Krishna came to know about it. He ordered his Sudarshan Chakra to go and destroy them. So Chakra burned all these things. Even the Kashi, he burned it out completely. Krishna came to know about it, and he ordered his Sudarshan Chakra to go and destroy them. The Chakra first cut off the head of Kashi Raj, then burned with the rage to the destruction of Varanasi. He sent his Pashupata Astra, then Lada Shiva, to destroy the Chakra. But Pashupata Astra could not stand even for a moment in front of the chakras. Chakra is the most invincible. So anyway, he tried. So Lord Shiva was defeated, Kashiras was defeated. So then he prayed. He sang a hymn to praise to Lord Shiva, and he prayed for his forgiveness. So because of his nature, he just gives boons indiscriminately. Like Brahma gave boon to Hiranyakashipu, Lord Shiva gave boon to Vrakasur, and even Ravan and Kumbhakarna and Meghnath. So he gives just boon. One has to have a discriminating power, but he is easily pleased and he does not think what would be the result. So there is a distinction. Krishna does not give like all kinds. Although he is capable of awarding anything, but he would not award something that will damage his devotion to the Lord. So now by these prayers, Krishna withdrew the Sudarshan and appeared before him. He said with a smile fixed with anger, "Shiva, what madness have I overtaken you? For the sake of that Raja, who was like an insect, you came to fight with me? Don't you know that my chakra is invincible? Brahmastra, Pashupatastra, and all the other weapons are just puny before his chakra. It is the power to destroy every weapon together with the person who wields it. Still you disregarded me as no one else has ever done." Shiva shivered to hear what Krishna said in anger. He held his feet and said prayerfully, "Prabhu, you are the Lord of the universe. You make everyone dance at your will. Just as the wind makes a blade of grass dance as it wills. So your Maya is powerful. You have given me the pride of ego, which is the product of your Maya. It has complete hold over me and makes me do what it wants. I am helpless. What can I do? I take shelter under your feet. Kindly forgive me and bless me so that I may never again be pushed by my pride into doing anything wrong. I now desire to live in some lonely place and do nothing except your bhajan. Kindly tell me where I should go." So he, Krishna, pleased with him and he forgave him and gave him the place Ekambara Kavan. This lies within 10 yojanas of Purushottam Kshetra or Nilachal on the sea coast. So he gave his dham that you could live here. This Ekambara Kavan, that is the Bhuneshwar. Because he lives very close by in Jagannath Puri. And then, "You kindly keep me in your dham near you." So he lived. Then he gave him the place in all the dhamas, that you become the protector of the dhamas. So you go to Vrindavan. There is Shiva's places in all the dhamas around it, and he does the protect. And he does not ask that kind of, or give that kind of boons now. So that is about Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya pays, although he is the Supreme Lord, but he is Chhanna Avatar. So he pays obeisances wherever he goes. He goes to Shiva temples and pays his respects and worships him, Lord Shiva, because he is the greatest of the Vaishnava. So a Supreme Lord can worship his own devotees, like he worships Lord Shiva, although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord. Same thing, Lord Ram worshipped Lord Shiva. There is nothing wrong with that. So it's not that he became the worshipable Lord. Lord Shiva always looks to worship Krishna, Lord Ram, or Sankarsana. He is always in meditation. He never thought that he is greater than Lord Ram or Krishna. So we should take in their proper perspective, and not that Lord Ram worshipped Lord Shiva, so Shiva is the greatest. We should understand their truths. Okay, Hare Krishna. So please unmute and we can discuss some of the points.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you for giving such a wonderful class. So,
thank you.
Actually, I need to discuss something on this topic only.
Okay.
So if you give me permission.
Sure, by all means.
Okay, so last time is like 2-3 days back, I was talking to some person. So she started coming to ISKCON, but the thing is, she said that I am not like convinced that Krishna is a God. She says that Krishna is a one name of God. Why do you ISKCON people say Krishna is only God? So So I told her that in Brahma Samhita as well, it is mentioned that Ishvara Parma Krishna, and there are Bhagavatam as well. But she says ki I am reading Shavites as well, or ye Devi ka jo hota hoga, jo bhi hota hoga, Prabhuji.
Right.
So she says ki from Devi, jo Devi ke followers hain, they assume ki matlab Devi se Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh has come. As a Shivite says ki Shiva is like supreme God. So means like, and I told her, do you believe ki there is Brahma? So she said, hoga, means maybe. So, matlab I could not convince her, because she was not ready to accept Brahma Samhita.
Right.
She was not ready to accept Srimad Bhagavatam. Mm. So she says, in my family, I have only seen ki means like Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh or Devi is there, but I don't see Krishna is a supreme personality of Godhead. So means like my concern is ki although she is very nice person, she likes holy name and all, and when she is, means when we chant holy name without accepting Krishna is God, so it's very difficult to get that purification, that change in ourselves, because on one hand we are chanting, on other hand we are offending Krishna that you are not God. So means like I don't know how to help her. So could you please help me in that?
No, at least you tried your best, and some people would not change because they are too much materialistic. Lord Shiva gives boons very easily, like he gave to this Kashi Raj that we read, and he gave to Varakasur, and he gave boons to. So people, they are materialistic, and they will worship. It is very difficult to bring them back to Krishna's lotus feet, because devotees of Durga or Shiva, they are very, very rich, opulent. And devotees of Krishna, because Krishna does not give something that will damage their Krishna consciousness. So he does not give those things very easily. Although Krishna does bestow and everything, even the demigods they give. So we have to go through the Shastra. That the topmost Shastra is Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, even, so they don't say like you give the Brahma. Brahma is the direct son or even a father of Lord Shiva. But he's just saying, so if they don't want to accept Brahma, don't want to accept Krishna, but gradually if she worships Krishna, Lord Shiva to give her the direction, then Shiva will give them like he gave to Prachetas. That you worship Lord. So if you give the example that what Shiva is telling them, how Shiva was bewildered by giving some boons to like Kashi Raj, and how he is praying. So unless they take these things, in those Shastra, see Devi Puran or Devi Bhagavat, they read, and they read Shiv Puran, and there it says that yes, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh are children of Devi. Those things are there, I fully agree, but that is not written by Vyasadev, or not written, that is, people who are worshipper, they wrote it. Like for, like even they put Sai Baba as God,
yes.
Equal to, so that is people, they make their all the songs and they write books, so that is all can be done. But one has to strictly follow the Vedic scriptures in parampara and take shelter of a Vaishnava or pure devotee, then only they can advance. But they will get it gradually, like you are merciful, you are giving prasad, and you are trying and praying to the Lord to purify her because she has some good qualities, but they are material good qualities. They are not a qualities of a Vaishnava that you reject Lord Krishna and think Shiva to be independent. That is one of the offense to consider demigods like Lord Shiva or Brahma to be equal to or independent. They are all dependent. So if you and there may be some, we don't read those books because they are like that will pollute our mind. So we should just try to give her prasad, try to give her that this is what is being taught in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the Amal Puran. The Puran have to glorify, because otherwise in Bhagavad Gita itself, I read those books, that they put their mind on that particular demigod that is done by Krishna, so they could at least become something atheistic. Endowed with such a faith, he endeavors to worship a particular demigod and obtain his desires, but in actually that benefits are bestowed by me alone. So if she accepts Bhagavad Gita, that I am in everyone's heart as the super soul. As soon as one desires to worship some demigod, I make his faith a study so that he can devote himself to that particular deity. And all the boons, everything, that ultimately he is the cause of everything. Aham sarvasya prabho matah sarvam pravartate. Everything comes from him. Iti matva bhajante maam buddha bhava samamita. An intelligent person will surrender to the Lord. But one who does not want to do, we cannot do much. Because they are puffed up, they are proudy, they think that they know everything. It is given in such and such book. But books may give anything, but what is their authority? The authority of Srimad Bhagavatam is well known, and bigger persons, it's Vyas, Narad, they chant Krishna's names.
But Prabhuji, the problem is they are not ready to accept the authority of Krishna. So why they would accept the authority of Vyasadeva?
That is true.
Yes,
Prabhuji? No, see, it is what you said. No, you could go ahead. What you were saying?
Thing is, she followed Bhagavad Gita for a long time, but on the other hand, she was doing other practices as well. Like yoga and, Ashtanga yoga and Dhyana yoga, this and that. So she was saying, now I am frustrated you guys are saying Krishna is God. In other Purana, I am reading, now she is reading Manduka Purana, Manduka Upanishad, sorry. Now in Shivaite says,
Mundak.
Yeah, so she is reading that. Now, she is in a miserable condition. She says, now I got confused. I don't know where to go. So she is she wants to go back on her Ashtanga yoga thing and all.
Only what you can do, give her your association. Talk to them nicely, not deriding them. And gradually, Krishna is as Paramatma, he is in heart. And he will purify, maybe not in one lifetime, it may take some lifetime. But just her coming, her chanting, her reading Bhagavad Gita will purify her. And your own wishes to Krishna that please give her proper direction so she knows and she could elevate. But after all the trial, then what can be done other than prayer and prasad? Because Krishna also says not to instruct to the faithless person. But her faith will develop because of your prayers. Daksha Prajapati, now he was so much like we are reading on this fifth canto when you go, that he was hating Lada Shiva. But then by the prayers of Sati and the blessings of Brahma and others, Brahma is the father of this Daksha Prajapati, then he was purified. Sometime he maybe had to be punished. His head was chopped off and he had to accept the goat's head. But he was purified ultimately. And if you see Pracheta's father was Prachina Barisat. He was killing animals and destroying the land and cutting so many trees. But when he was given association with Narad Muni, and they all are purified. So someday, she may get the association of exalted Vaishnava and may get purified by your prayers, like Muragrari. And you see so many stories that how this Valmiki was just murderer and he could not even chant the name of Ram. He had to chant Mara, Mara, Mara. But then they were all purified. Why? These people, same thing, Brahma Kumaris, they worship Brahma, are completely different, and they may have all these views, but unless you come to Krishna consciousness, then the real peace, real tranquility, real devotion would not come. They would be just hovering.
So Prabhuji, what is the aftermath of this kind of conversation or this kind of continuous association? Because I am not a pure soul, so might I get those as Prabhupada says, never associated with whoever is having some Mayavad thinking and all.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Can I?
Okay, Mother Kamadi. Sure, please, please.
Yes, he said that the Mataji, this is Anjana Gopika Mataji?
No, this is Ishwari Kumari Mataji.
Ishwari Kumari So, Mataji, you just said that she is chanting Hare Krishna mantra.
Mm-hmm.
So then,
She used to chant. Now she got confused and frustrated. She stopped chanting. She stopped reading Bhagavatam. Now she is like, as I told you, means like now she is confused. What to do?
Just be friendly, but you don't give your heart to her. Be friendly, and maybe sometimes you can chant, and then maybe she can join you chanting or not join. Doesn't matter. In her presence, you can chant loudly. And like that, you know, can sing. That's what I mean, chanting means. Not your japa. Because so then that melody will attract her. Krishna in his form of melody will attract her. And she may also, that melody may get into her head and maybe she can also contemplate on that later on or maybe that same time also. Maybe she can join you. So, Hare Krishna
mantra. Yeah, she likes kirtan. She likes kirtan.
Yeah, so that's good. That Krishna is very potent by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, Hare Krishna mantra. So that will work. So just engage somehow or other in chanting Hare Krishna mantra. She doesn't have to take up the beads and chant on a bead, but just kirtan. She likes kirtan, so let her engage, you know, enjoy the kirtan. That's good.
Okay,
and that will purify her and bring her.
Thank you so much, Mataji. But for now, as she is in confusion state, I told her...
Don't worry about confusion. I say, what can we do? You can say, yes, what can we do? You know, we do get confused sometimes. But then we just chant on Hare Krishna and then confusion will go away.
I told her, means like, as you don't get any destination, think of ISKCON as your orphanage. Means like, as you will get your destination, your goal, then you can... means like meanwhile you can stay in ISKCON as an orphanage.
Yeah.
So is that fine?
It's a good advice. If she somehow associates with devotees, she will get purified. It may take more time. But every one of us who before joining ISKCON, we were also confused. So confusion is a state that is given. That way they will come to a right path by some direction. Like we don't know where to go. So we are on the crossroads. Which side to go? We are confused. Then we ask somebody and they give you that go this way, you will reach your destination. So when she understands what is her destination, she will take the proper path, but it may take some time to come to that stage. So
and also give her prasadam.
Good advice. Yeah, prasad.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Mataji and Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Dhanvar Pranams.
Dhanvar Pranams.
Yes, this is Mahi Mataji from Chandigarh. Can I just post my question, Prabhuji?
Sure, please.
Okay, fantastic lecture as usual. My question revolves around counseling and bringing people to Krishna consciousness, specifically those who are demigod worshippers. Taking my example, they say bhakti comes from bhakti. So my friends took me to ISKCON on the way back home from college. They are now nowhere into the movement. I don't know their level of bhakti. I don't know where they stand. But I have become a bhakt and I am Krishna conscious. So Prabhuji, the question is, shouldn't we leave it to destiny and Krishna? See, Krishna knows best whom to call, whom not to call. So why should we go and bring people to Krishna consciousness, because at the end, it is all their free will, it's Krishna's mercy, and it's the destiny that counts. Why not we utilize our time to perfect ourselves, our bhakti, and rise up?
See, what you say is all right, but Vaishnavas are more compassionate than Krishna himself. And Krishna also wants that. He demands of us that we should preach this philosophy like is given in Bhagavad Gita. And I will read a couple verses of Bhagavad Gita. Na cha tasman manusheshu kashchin me priyakratama bhavita na cha same tasman anya priyataro bhavita. Are one who explains this supreme secret to the devotee. Pure devotion is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he nor will there ever be one more dear. So that is this, our Krishna consciousness movement is a movement to shower mercy of Krishna on all the souls who are bereft of Krishna consciousness and give them direction. So a pure devotee with his example could make, like Srila Prabhupada, he made so many devotees. He took all the trouble. He did not live up to destiny. That is not a Vaishnava behavior. Vaishnava jantu tene kahi je peer padai de, understand that how people are fallen. They become compassionate and try to give them one way or another by whatever means possible, by prasad, by chanting, by giving them books. That's why we distribute the books. So it's not that we become cold-hearted and not feel any suffering. Suffering means we have to take so many births and suffer birth after birth. For millions of lifetime we are rotting in the world, but that is the formula. If we know, we should be kind and we should be merciful to the others who do not understand. We spend time, energy on preaching to all, preaching or elevating to all these souls.
I see. I have put forward this question because I have dealt with people from the Gaudiya Mutt and people from Art of Living organizations. Now, what happens when you approach them? You indirectly try to bring them into Krishna consciousness by calling them for home programs or inviting them for Rath Yatras. So when they oblige you by coming, then they expect the same from you when their guru comes. There we get stuck. It becomes very difficult for us to exit. Now, when we exit, that relation does not flourish on this level. Then we only have a relation on materialistic give and take. So then the end result is, why did I bother? I would have rather utilized the time to uplift myself or do some extra service for ISKCON or the Guru congregation and raise myself. And, you know, then that thing comes into your mind. That's being, like, I'm probably sounding very practical where bhakti is concerned and I'm not focusing on the compassionate level, but this is what has happened, Prabhuji.
Yeah, it should not make you...
Or jagah jhukna parega, then that is also guru, and that was a guru aparad, no? Our guru never says you should go and mix up with these followers.
एक तो आपने ये बतलाया कि वो गौड़ीय वैष्णव है. इफ दे आर ऑल्सो वैष्णवास, यू कैन लर्न इफ दे आर एलिवेटेड, दे आर कृष्ण भक्तास. बट इफ दे आर नॉट कृष्ण भक्तास, यू शुड नॉट, यू जस्ट हम्बली जस्ट दैट आई वुड नॉट बी एबल टू कम, आई हैव सम सर्विस आर समथिंग, दैट यू कुड बी अवे फ्रॉम दैट एंड डोंट गेट यूर सेल्फ कंटेमिनेटेड. बट इफ यू आर स्ट्रांग इनफ टू प्रीच, देन इवन इन दोज एसोसिएशन यू कुड गो आस्क क्वेश्चन. सो इट मे लीड टूवर्ड्स कृष्णा कॉन्शियसनेस मोर टू द फॉर द अदर पीपल. बट वी कैन नॉट, यस, इफ इट इफ यू हैव ट्राइड योर बेस्ट फॉर लॉन्ग पीरियड एंड डजेंट हैपन, देन जस्ट अदर देन प्रसाद एंड गिविंग देम सम बुक्स, यू कीप यूर सेल्फ अवे. Means there may be, you will join more friends who are Krishna's devotee rather than just few friends that you may have to avoid. But don't yourself put in a place where you feel that you are going downhill on your Krishna consciousness. That should be avoided. And if they are demigod worshippers, then also you should not really go, although demigods are highly elevated soul and you could teach, but gradually, if they are pakka demigod worshipper, they will, their own worshipable demigod will push them to Krishna. Many people, they started with demigod worship, but then they will advise that your best place is worship of Krishna. So I am not saying that one should go and do the demigod worship or go, if you are already Krishna on the highest level, why you have to go down to do that? In the mind, if you go to such places, that is, you cannot avoid, but you always chant the holy name, chant, think of Krishna, and think some ways how you could change their mentality or how you could demonstrate that Krishna worship is the highest.
We don't come to that level because they do not reciprocate, Prabhuji. They do not reciprocate. There we get stuck, and indirectly, it is made, it is portrayed that the relation will end because there is no base. There is no base for carrying forth the relation. If they don't come to your programs or if they invite you and you cannot go, and then they get the message. So then that makes me feel that it's better. It would have been better if I would have gone and attended a seminar or gone and done book distribution, earned Sukruti. Sorry, I'm being selfish. Going back to Godhead is the goal. Why am I wasting time on these people? You know, then that mindset comes in, you know. So
yeah,
that's
no,
why...
bilkul sahi hai. You should not waste one. If you have tried already, then there are many person who are innocent who will take to Krishna consciousness easily. It is one of the Nama Prabhupada also to instruct a person, faithless person, about the glories of the holy name. So that is true. If you could do it, that is fine. If not, then be away and just continue with your sadhana and preaching. Don't stop distributing Krishna consciousness to others in one form or another.
Okay, got your point.
We cannot
you so
change
much.
The whole world, and this is right. Kali Yuga is very greatly, so we cannot think. They may be our friend, so don't be afraid that giving up their friendship, you will lose anything. So don't feel that negative way. There would be many Krishna conscious devotees who would be held. Or rather to remain alone, many kings, they have given up their kingdom and then they went to the forest so they could have loneliness and they could meditate or they could think of Krishna more strongly. Even our Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj and others also have gone through that period.
Right. Very true. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam Prabhu.
Such healthy discussion takes place whenever you speak, Prabhu.
No, whenever a group of devotees are together, it's always healthy.
Then you ignite many thoughts in the listeners. It's wonderful. A couple of thoughts coming to my mind, can I share?
Sure, please.
You know, when it comes to the authority by discussing Vedic tradition, different, there's so much variety. So, just when Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that worshipping the demigods is avidhi purvakam. So, that is
right.
For those who are accepting Krishna as the supreme truth or the ultimate destination. But the very arrangement of demigod worship is also bona fide until they come to the highest level of this Krishna consciousness. So, avidhi purvak for whom? The candidate is different. We have all grown through those worships and we never doubted this unbonified. Even Krishna or the Vedic literatures, because it's part of the Vedic tradition, so we have been worshipping, but the ultimate understanding has to be ignited. Like when it comes to authority, we accept our parents as authority. But then we change when spiritual authority is understood, then we understand. So, but from the on the fundamental level, everybody accepts the Yamraj as the authority because everybody knows that one has to face Yamraj, the Lord of Death. So when Yamraj says that these 12 personalities are the authority on the spiritual subject matter, so then the dispute is resolved. When Yamaraj says that these 12 authorities, Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Prahladu, Janko, Vishnu, Vayati, Vayam, then everybody who is from Vedic background, he will heed to this direction. Yes, if Yamaraj is telling, because Yamaraj is real, whether one is in demigod worship or Krishna worship or any worship from Vedic tradition. So Yamaraj says, everybody better listen to it. So all the confusion is removed, whether one is reading one Upanishad or one Purana, Devi Purana, any Purana. If Yamaraj directing that if the 12 people are the authorities, we accept them. If the authority is not one of these 12, then we can easily tell them, well, this is not what the Yamaraj says. So the 12 authorities, they have no confusion and they can pull out anybody from the confusion of who the authority is, you know, and like that. So that was one thought. We can always emphasize who the authority, who is speaking, whether it is this Puran or that Puran. If the authority is one of the 12, then we have no problem. This is what exactly Lord Shiva also in Skanda Purana says. He tells his own son, Skanda, that, my dear son, that anything or any instruction which is in confirmation with Srimad Bhagavatam, then it is absolute all-time truth. Other instructions, they may be truth for the time being, circumstantial, but they cannot be accepted as the all-time truth. They may be accepted as truth, but not ultimate. So, in demigod worship or other worships, so they are accepting some truth because of demigods are authority for their worshippers, they accept it. But when the platform of the soul is discussed, because our existence is comprises the soul, the body, and the mind, the confusion remains on the platform of the mind. And so, there is different, according to different categories of people of consciousness, the Vedas provide arrangement for many, but as the person grows up, then naturally he comes. He wants to come on the platform of the soul. That's why it says that yayatma sam prasidati. So the devotee who is somehow providing participation in chanting, so let them realize the chanting, and then when their soul satisfaction will be touched, they will very easily, through the association of devotees, they will come out of their confusion. And they will relish Krishna consciousness exclusively.
Okay. So, just on your what you said, let me give few things, few hints. One thing, when avidhi purvok, it is for everybody. Not that it is avidhi purvok means only for devotees of Krishna, and for others it is vidhi purvok. Avidhi purvok, that means it is not sanctioned by the Lord, and he, most people who are worshippers of demigods are karmis, are karmakandis. They want to have higher position, higher gain, higher post, so they get even more greedy. And if those desires are not fulfilled, they become anger also. So it is not recommended that we should worship demigods. It is not the way that everybody has to go. Many devotees in West, when they became devotees Prabhupada's time, they did not worship any demigod. They directly came to Krishna consciousness. And Indian people, because of this Brahmanas, and they knew about Karmakand, but that is a Karmakand section. And Karmakand section is not that we have to follow. But no one cannot take it anything, then something is better. So let them do the demigod worship. But it's not recommended or it's not necessary that one has to go through demigod worship, and when they become, and that is avidhi means it is condemned. That's what you could say, that it is not an intelligent way to worship demigod. But it is part of the Vedic culture that one can worship demigod if they cannot come to Krishna. If they don't have any faith in Krishna, because they give them opulence. But most of the people worship demigod for material gain. And material gain may entangle them in the material world, and they will remain. That is what is happening life after life. That people, they remain in the material world only by, it is never said that one has to come through demigod worship and then come to Krishna. Krishna is our father, direct father, and father, whatever contamination he may have, they could come to Krishna consciousness directly. So they have to have a proper association, proper learning, proper teaching. But people who are born in demigod worshippers family or Karmakandi family, that's what they hear from very beginning. So they worship different kinds of demigods to get material benefit. But it's not that material benefit would make them Krishna conscious devotee later on. It may happen if they come in touch. Brahmanda Brahmite Kaun Bhagyavan Jeev. If one is a Bhagyavan, they have auspicious thing, then by mercy of Guru and Krishna, they come to Krishna consciousness. Not by demigod worship. They, like say, if you give the example, any example of demigod worshippers, only very few might have come, but not that everybody. It is not like a ladder step that you worship demigod, then we come to this. Karmakandi section remain in Karmakand, but Karma Yoga is different. Karma Yoga means you offer your results of your activity to Krishna. That is different. Or Gyan Yoga, which brings you to Krishna consciousness, that is different. But Gyan Yogi who want to merge in Brahma Jyoti, they are even more fallen. So we have to understand through proper Vedic Shastra that what is the conclusion. Even Shankaracharya preached this Mayavad philosophy, but ultimately that was superficial. But ultimately he's saying that you worship Govinda. Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam Moodamate. This world of jugglery are this, yes, worshipper of like 12 Mahajanas they follow. But demigod worshippers are Karma Kandis, don't follow these Mahajanas. And they won't come to Mahajanas, following the 12 Mahajanas or great Vaishnavas. They won't come to that automatically unless they get prasad and association with the Vaishnavas. So anyway, that is what our Shastra is teaching us.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, if you allow, I want to share just 30 seconds from my part on this. This is Damodarananda Buddha.
Yeah, Prabhu. Go ahead, okay? Just speak a little. Because there is so much background noise. So if others are, if others can keep it on mute. Yeah, please put on mute so there is no background noise. Okay, now you go ahead.
So, Prabhu, if we first we have to understand the basic thing, most of the people who are demigod worshippers are not demigod worshippers because they are karmakandis or they want some material benefits. Most of the time it is because they don't have the higher knowledge. And usually the religiosity is inherited, like the parents. So like I worship Shiva because my mother worshiped Shiva, and we have it, you know, traditionally we have Kul Devatas in India, and everybody worships some Devata, you know, which we call demigods. So most of the time we were worshipping without even realizing what we were doing or whether it was for material benefits, which is always there because all the aartis, all the prayers to demigods are asking for, you know, money, house, sampati, santan and all these things. So it's not that necessarily we were all karmakandis. We didn't even understand this word karmakanda, what it means. So, and when somebody is worshipping a demigod for whole his life and suddenly you tell him, oh no, this is not the real God, Krishna is the real God, it's like a shock for them and they don't want to accept it. So we have to be a little careful what we do and what we say because some people get hurt. And the other thing I wanted to share is that Krishna says the one who transmits his knowledge is most dear to him. He also, I don't remember the exact shloka, advises, because Krishna gives a very balanced view of life. He also tells not to give this knowledge to mudas, people who are not, you know, amenable to getting some knowledge. So it's a balance. So, but still we have to do the preaching, as you said very nicely. And the person who brought this Mataji in Chandigarh to the ISKCON temple and she became such a nice devotee, did a great service. So she should look at it as in that way that since she was brought to Krishna consciousness by somebody, she should, you know, pay it back in the form of bringing somebody else to Krishna consciousness. But we should not be overzealous and try to, you know, force somebody to come in, because there are millions of lives, ourselves and others, to come to Krishna consciousness, and may not be the right time for somebody to do that. But giving prasadam, as Kamadiji Mataji said, and kirtan will, you know, do its part. That's just what I want to share.
That is very right. We should condemn demigod worship. We should not deride them. But we should be compassionate in the way that gradually, but it is up to the super soul who is sitting in their heart. They will direct, they will see, they know their heart more than us, more than what we could even think. So we should just pray for them, give them prasadam and chanting, kirtan, this nice healthy discussion, but never condemning and never forcing somebody. Because that would also lead, that would have opposite results. We should not force, but let them come and listen. And people who are prone more or who have done already pious activity, agyat sukriti, they will bend towards Krishna's bhakti. Like so many people of us, like as we came. We go on, but we cannot water our philosophy. See, the problem is we should be preaching very purely what is right, what is wrong. Even if they don't understand or don't come to that level, doesn't matter. But if you water down that, it's all right. You could worship demigod. You could do karmakand. That's what we have all been doing. And when some life would come, then where would be the purity? So we should be very, very pure. We should preach purely. like Bhakti Vikas Maharajar, if he sees something, he immediately points it out, even if somebody gets wrong or thinks wrong. So we, like, if you start putting, say, demigods, what is wrong? You could put all the demigods in your temple or in your altar. Then where is the Krishna Bhakti? Where is your devotion? Exclusive Krishna demands exclusive worship to himself. He does not want only me, only Krishna. He does. Where in Bhagavad Gita it says that you worship demigod and that's fine. And then gradually you will come to me. Gradually they may fall down also at the same time. So
correct.
Teach purely. If you are pure, that is, you are Krishna Bhakta, preach Krishna Bhakti purely. Somebody will take it, that's fine. Somebody may not take it. It's okay, let them do their thing. But gradually they will come if they are pure in their... See, like Christians or others, if they are pure in their devotion to Christianity or even Muslims, they will come to Krishna Bhakti ultimately. But it has to be pure. People water it down. On the name of something, they change it. They change their meaning. Like Prabhupada pointing that if you want to become a best Christian, then become the best of Christian. Where does it says thou shall not kill? Where the people change it to murder. So keep it pure.
Right.
Our Krishna Bhakti should be kept purely. And we should not be preaching about demigod worship. Somebody is doing it, let them do it. That's fine.
Right. Thank you, Prabhu.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
You are absolutely right. The point I was saying that those who worship, all of us, we came with the tradition of worshipping, accepting our parents as our very great authority. But then we are sent out, and somebody educated us in the higher knowledge. So in the same way, those who worship demigod, at least they accept some authority. And through Krishna conscious preaching, we can imbibe this knowledge that the supreme authority is Krishna. And this is what is supported by great stalwarts. So anybody who is coming from Vedic background, they will accept Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, or Narada, and all these 12 Mahajans is one of the authorities. And that way they can be connected to Krishna consciousness. On our part, we can appreciate their accepting as some authority. Somebody accepts Ganesh's authority or Vishnu's authority. If we just shut them down, then it would be a wrong attitude. Rather, appreciating that they follow some authority, but the higher authority and the higher need for the soul is to join Krishna consciousness. On the mental platform, on the bodily platform, on the physical platform, we have been accepting some worship or subservience to someone, but the real need of the soul is the love of Krishna. That is the authority and the unison on that part. So when to bring them to understand the need of the soul, then they will definitely appreciate Krishna consciousness, and the mental confusion, intellectual confusion will be over. Hare Krishna.
You have rightly said that we should not condemn demigod worship, we should not blaspheme them, we should not deride them, we should not put them in a lower, but by our example, by our Shastra, like say, Jada Bharat was given, like he went to be sacrificed by Dacoit's chief, and Dacoit's chief was, but Devi herself came, Devi herself, how she could tolerate that her own respectable, a kind of like you may say God brother, because she is the greatest of the Vaishnavi. So how she could tolerate that her dear brother is being sacrificed for her? She cannot see the blood of Jad Bharat. So the same way that what I am just saying, that none of our Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Amal Puran, says that yes, you eulogize demigod worship, they are doing, you teach, you do your service, and gradually by seeing you, you create an example, they will come, they will elevate. I'm not saying you condemn, I'm not saying you deride them, I'm not saying you put them down, that you are fools, you don't know what is right, this worship of Krishna is right. Let them do not disturb their mind, but you perform your services nicely way, and go on, and then they watch you. Like, I will tell you just my own life story. Somehow my father was Vaishnava, and I came from a Vaishnava background, and they were worshippers and Krishna and Radharani. And so gradually, like we used to read Ramayana in my childhood, Mahabharata, Bhagavatam. But one devotee, he came join me. Like I was a doctor, so naturally they came and we were talking. And so he started coming. He used to worship demigods, but gradually just by seeing your own example, offering, prasad, kirtan, he changed and then he took initiation. But it took him many, many years. And let it be, let it that time come. But suppose we say, okay, whatever you are doing, it's fine. And then we are watering down our own principles. Then how other person would know that that there is a different level. And so worship of Krishna is a completely, it's not really a level that one has to go through demigod worship, or one can have directly association with devotees and become a pure devotee of Krishna. So what you are saying, we should not disturb them. Let them do. At least they are accepting some. But higher authority may be taking them in a wrong way also. Because they give them some boons, then they even kick out their own demigods also. When they get their result, they are not really worshippers as you say, that they just follow what Lord Shiva is meditating on Krishna or Sankarsana all the time. Does their devotees worship Sankarsana? Does they learn from there? They are there just to get their boons, benefits, and then disappear. Then they kick their own god also. If they don't give the result, they are no more worshippers. So they are behind the lusty desire to fulfill their wishes, fulfill their whatever their mind is taking them, to enjoy their senses. If they don't give, so many people, they go from one demigod to another. Why? One cannot give me this, let me get to another one. It is just like the material world. So many officers, so many, he cannot do good to me in form of my demand, let me go to somebody else. That is what is happening. Like if I have a job which is paying half, although he may be a nice devotee, let me go to another person. Let me serve him. Let me serve third one, fourth one. I am getting more benefit. Same thing is demigod is just like a marketplace. And you are looking for a job who pays you most. And that's why there are more Shaivites, more Durga worshippers. But not that we should recommend that, we should practice that. Here, like devotees, they remain poor, they have nothing. They give up their whole kingdom. And they just want to worship Krishna. That is something different. So we have to create such big examples, either in ourselves or reading through the pages of all the devotees of the Lord, and how they act, how they behave. And I'm not saying that don't, at least whatever they are doing, let them do it. That is in Bhagavad Gita also, that don't disturb their mind. If they are worshippers, then let them worship. But you give pure example, pure teaching and pure way, and if they, Krishna sitting, if that imparts them to, their soul would never be satisfied. Yayatma, you give the example, Yayatma suprasidati, savai punshamparo dharmo yato bhakti radokshaje, ahaituki apratihata Yayatma suprasidati. Our atma, unless it comes in touch with Krishna, would never be satisfied by demigod worship. You will be satisfied in your mind by getting the results of the demigod worship. Or I went to Haridwar one time and some politician would throw away like so many like apples and other and clothing, and they will give for their vote. So was he really a demigod worshipper or serving people? They just, most of the people are selfish. Where I get my desires fulfilled. So they have a lot of desires. And that's what Krishna is saying, that one approaches to demigods because of so many material desires. And when the desires are not fulfilled, they kick them out. But did any worshipper of Krishna just kick Krishna out? I mean, some people may do it thinking him to be like a demigod, but he is our supreme Lord and Master. And all the results come from him. Why not to go to him directly? Prabhupada gives the example. You go to a big place of water where you could swim, you could quench your thirst, you could bring water, you could put boat and just run. So Krishna is like that, that everything is fulfilled in one place. So your saying is fine, and we should not deride them or we should not put them down, but at the same time we should create an example and give them and talk in a way that they could take to Krishna consciousness and advance further. Advancing in demigod worship is no advancement. It's not even a bhakti. Bhakti is only reserved for Krishna, whose part we are. Unless a fish is out of the water, you may give anything. So people who are demigod worship are fish out of the water. And they may do anything, but unless you put back in the water. Our normal environment is the spiritual world. We don't belong even to the material world. And if we do demigod worship, they are also sakam bhaktas. They are more higher. They have given the power. But that does not mean that that is, should be our place of worship. We will remain in the material world forever. If we just go on doing that and thinking that is also okay, whatever, yato mat tato pat, that's what people would say, that if your mind is there, do it, that's okay. But that's not okay. We belong to the spiritual kingdom. In prison house, you may be have a first class prison house, second class, you may be chained with golden chain and you may get more facility. But does it mean that we, and what by Durga worshipper, and what would happen? Durga would keep you. He is bribing me. Let me keep him here in prison. More long period. So he will go me giving bribing more and more. So should we continue giving bribe to the demigods, or we should just kick that is not proper? Why I should bribe them? People bribe to get some more material benefits. They don't want to go through the proper channel. So I hope you understand what I am saying. And you are saying right that we should not disturb their mind, that is true. But that is not recommended, or that is not proper.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, can I mention something?
Sure, please go ahead.
Yes, sir.
You are a pure devotee, so your words would be heard and equal.
I'm trying to follow the devotees. They, like in all the demigods, offer prayers to Krishna. So then one time I was one worshipper of Lord Shiva, and so then I say, yeah, that's very nice, maybe I can give you the prayer that Lord Shiva, he was chanting. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam there's a prayer Lord Shiva glorifies the Lord, so they can give them, say, yeah, this way you can please Lord Shiva very easily. You just recite these prayers that he himself has given. So done like that. And we can give that prayer to that person, and that prayer is the glorification of Krishna, Sankrishna. So that way they can be elevated. And Durga is also like all in the scripture, there must be some prayers that they are, because all the demigods, they're praying to the Lord. So there must be prayers in the scripture. I don't know about finding out in a computer, but he can do that and find out, like Devi Durga is offering prayers, like Lord Chaitanya. She takes she chants Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga somehow, and then Lord Gauranga appears. And she takes dust from the Lord Gauranga's lotus feet and puts it on her head on a simanta. So that's how the simanta dvip is there. So like that. So we can give the prayer that they are offering to the Lord. So Krishna, Sankarshan, like that. So this is what
Mataji, what you are telling is very much right. It is correct. But they, in their Puranas, those prayers are not there. This is only in Srimad Bhagavatam, where all the demigods and Durga and Brahma and Shiva, and they are all praying. Unless they come to Bhagavatam or that level, they would not take those. They say that we have, so those prayers are by devotees to please her or him, particular demigod, so they could fulfill their desire. Those prayers are not given in those Puranas. Uh-huh. What you are saying is 100% right, that if they could take to those prayers, so once he becomes...
That's how one person that I talked to and explained, and then she said, but this Lord Shiva will get offended. I said, no, he will not get offended. He will be very pleased. So just do this, you know. So then now she's initiated, and she's second initiated, and She's being very nice. So that's what
That's very much true. If people could take to that, that's good. You one can show them. There are Bhagavatam is full of prayers by all these Indra and Varun, and so many demigods are praying.
So then we don't have to tell them that they are offering, this is in Bhagavatam or like that. This is a prayer that Varun offered. Varun Dev, like, or whoever.
Shankaracharya.
Yeah.
If they could take it, that's good. Yeah. That's Krishna is very much merciful on them, that they are taking and doing that. That's nice.
No, that's what I was.
Okay.
No. What I do. Hare Krishna, thank you for allowing me to mention.
No, good.
Hare Krishna. So that was the point Mataji inserted Krishna consciousness to some way. So when I said that our appreciation is that they accept some authority, but the need of the soul, to expose the need of the soul, is the work of all the preachers and sadhakas. So we are not just, by appreciating, we are not just saying, oh, you are doing fine. No. The real need of the soul has to be exposed. That's our work. So appreciating means they are accepting some authority, but the ultimate good will come through this authority. Krishna.
Right. Okay. So, some Mataji wanted to ask them. Yes.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat
Pranam. Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam.
And very nice discussion, Prabhuji. You know, it's like, you know, before coming to Krishna consciousness, we worship all demigods, and this confusion is always there with the new people. So thank you very much for the discussion, Prabhuji.
It was very healthy discussion, very nice. I appreciate that. That is in the life of everybody, so we should discuss those open-heartedly.
So, Prabhuji, how many verses you covered today?
Oh, just only one.
Only one verse, okay. Right. I thought you were reading the verse 17 also, so that's why I asked.
No, but my main was like I read whole, like, this purport. On just 16, I did not go to 17.
Okay.
Some talks means they are all connected, so those may come. But my reading was, I did not read any translation verse or the purport by Srila Prabhupada. It's all such a nectarian, means he's not only he's empowered, but that kind of purity what Srila Prabhupada has is you cannot have no bhuto no bhavishyati, and what he wrote is can transfer everybody's life if one reads. So yes, that's why Prabhupada gave importance to book distribution. That it is like a Vrahad Mradanga. So if somebody reads, touches it, they will, if they have done some piety, their life would change from just, and every purport he is giving Krishna consciousness everywhere.
Yes.
So that is his glory, his greatness.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Please accept my humble obeisances. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Dandavat Pranam to you too. Prabhuji, I have two questions and I'm a little confused right now. So can I ask that?
Sure, please.
Prabhuji, we are in a small town here and we do have a Hindu temple also. And every Mondays, there is the recitation of the Maharudram, and you know I have other friends and who always request, and I myself was going for those chanting for Lord Shiva, and recently, in a couple of years, we have stopped doing that. I have stopped doing that, but knowing that Lord Shiva is the highest Vaishnava, and also now knowing that Daksha, after he got the head of the goat, he started praying to Lord Shiva, and actually the Namakam and the Chapakam are the prayers to Lord Shiva. So in order to give my association or to associate with the other devotees, is it okay to do that? and, you know, be with them. Because some of them have started coming to our temple, some of them have started, and as Mataji has said very rightly, we have tried to give them the chanting beads. They have it, but I don't think they are chanting, but they do appreciate and enjoy the kirtans, and many of them do come for that and also attend our big program. So then, is it okay, because they offer their services to cook for the Lord, cook for Lord Jagannath, cook for Lord Krishna. And on many occasions, I have accepted their cooking there, you know, and we have taken it wholeheartedly, giving them the guidelines. And, you know, but sometimes it is frowned upon by other devotees and, you know, to so that little tussle is going on. So please, can you guide me and give me some direction? So, because I also want to follow Lord Shiva's, you know, his prayers. And is it okay to do, knowing that Lord Sri Krishna is our supreme, and now understanding the Bhagavatam as the ultimatum? And I do keep, you know, knowing, understanding that, but how to I present it to my other friends? Hare Krishna.
No, you are trying to bring them, your aim is to bring those, whatever your friends are there, to bring them to Krishna consciousness. Reciting those prayers by demigods to Lord Krishna is all right. We should recite those prayers. So there is nothing wrong, and they are helping Lord Jagannath's Rath Yatra and temple festival, and they are coming. So you are gradually elevating them to Krishna consciousness. But you have to understand our own philosophy very more and more thoroughly. So you could read some time with them Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, and so by giving your association, you will elevate them to Krishna consciousness more and more, and they are serving Krishna, so they have a desire to serve Krishna. They may not understand. Many people, like say many people, Christians before, to eat meat is a sin. They did not even, they said it is kind of produce, like something is produced in the field, they can cut and eat it. But people, when they understand, they would not do that. Many people have changed their habits. Meat eating was 100% in America, but it is reduced so much just because of this teaching. So same thing that, yes, you go, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj says that even if I had to go to a place where, and even if I had to serve the meat, but they will listen to the philosophy. I'm willing to take them to hotel where meat is served. He did not mind that. Prabhupada used to go, people were drinking tea and joking and reading newspaper, but he wanted to distribute literature back to Garden Magazine, so he went to all these places. So you are going to Lada Shiva's temple where they are praying or participating in the prayer. If these prayers are not just sakam prayers, but even if there is sakam prayer, and but you keep Krishna in the heart by your association, they will also gradually change. So that is all right. But your goal should be always higher, that I am a Krishna devotee. I want to serve Krishna by my all heart. Not that yourself, that you put yourself down in a demigod worship, whether it is Lord Shiva or Ganesh or anyone, or even Durga, whatever it is. They are pure devotees, but we go to them. That's what Bhagavad Gita says, Kamastaisair Ratagyana Prapadyante Anya Devata. So you keep your sadhana in your heart, you chant. Like in the job, it may be a job, may not be very suitable, but you will keep Krishna in the heart and just chant in the mind. And think of that higher, that you have to do to take care of the family, and you have to mix with even non-devotees. So what? There is nothing wrong with mixing with devotees, but don't take up to their practice or their thought or their philosophy. That is all in all. There is a higher truth. That truth is Krishna Bhakti. So you keep and then go on preaching. So you have to make them friendship. Then only they will, and they are already coming to Krishna temple, so that is also good. They are coming to Rath Yatras, they are chanting with you, so that's all right. So you have to inject it slowly, somewhere more fast, but not that they just give up your association and then they are nowhere, neither this way or that way. So...
Yes, Prabhuji, thank you. Excellent, Prabhuji. Yes, that's what we do. Me and my husband, we totally understand, and our philosophy right is absolutely separate. We do understand, and it took us a little while to get away from the other types of worship, but we have, and by, I think, just by the example, we have put it across, and because of the small town, people do understand that we are following Lord Krishna, and they, you know, they respect that. So in order to, for us to respect what they are doing, also, you know, we just feel that we should, at least I feel that at least we should be participating with them too.
Yeah, that's all right. Srila Prabhupada was told that, oh, you have to wear this kind of like boot and suit and all this, who will listen to you? But he remained just with that sannyasi dress, and people respected that. We used to have a luncheon conference and in our residences and all this, but I would just take some fruit or some juice, and so they were respecting that that is his culture. He wants to do that, so they would not bother you. Once they know that you are, it's not that if you like your job, then sometime you have to go to a restaurant. So you just accept something, some kind of juice or something or fruit, and not take it. Others would not bother you. Initially they may say, but we feel ourselves shy because we are not firm in our own conviction. Then there is a problem. But if you are firm in your own conviction, many devotees, they go with the tilak. And but they are accepted as leaders in the society. Yes. So why we should feel,
yes,
so much ashamed?
We put our tilak and go to the Hindu temples. So,
yeah, that's good.
And we have our Kanti Mala, we also have our Japa beads, and, you know, we have, so there is that differentiation, which is non-verbal, but it's there. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the class thus far. It's been really informative to me, and this subject has been really hitting home in my own life because I also go to church with my family, and, you know, I have philosophical discussion with my father and some friends about Jesus, and I was actually wondering where does Jesus fall in the spectrum of demigod worship and Krishna worship? Because he, you know, and how is worship of him, is this bona fide? Is this the, you know, because it's also glorification of the spiritual master, you know, and how we worship Prabhupada because he is Krishna's devotee. I was wondering how even demigod worship, like worshiping Lord Shiva and even masters like Jesus, who are also, you know, great devotees of the Supreme Lord, how does this all tie in, I guess, is my question.
When Prabhupada was asked that question about Jesus Christ, he says that he's our spiritual master. He's a guru, and he's giving this Krishna consciousness. He never said that I am God myself. But God is saying that I am this, I am this. He's saying, so yes, you accept, say Jesus Christ is the greatest of the devotee and his spiritual master, and he's leading them. But if people water down his philosophy or his teaching, then they are on a wrong path. They cannot advance as much. But we should give full respect to Lord Shiva or any demigod, because they are Krishna's devotee. But just going to them to think that they are independent God and asking some boons for our benefit or for our selfishness, that would put us not, that won't elevate us if we just go for that purpose. But giving respect, we respect to even an ant, what to say about, because there is a Paramatma in their heart also. So we respect everybody, but we listen to those who are Krishna conscious devotees. Somebody is practicing Shiva Bhakti, and so that's okay. We are not deriding them, we are not putting them down, let them do it. And that's like somebody is a Christian. If they become a purest Christian, they will come to Krishna consciousness automatically. But they water it down, oh, you could do this, you could. So then there is a problem. Like, say, eating meat. He did not advise her. Many days, he's still the Christian, so they don't eat meat, because they think that is higher. But Jesus Christ never said, he says that thou shalt not kill, means killing means anybody, even an ant. Why should kill when we cannot give life? What right we have on somebody's life if we cannot give them the life? But grains and all these things are sanctified for us, so we could take that. So we have a great respect. Prabhupada had a great respect for Jesus Christ. So what is your name, Prabhu? You are Ron? What is your name?
Oh, this is Ron.
Huh?
This is Ron.
I couldn't, but I just wanted to clarify that. So I thought that you said that you won't be able to join this this conference call at 7:30, so I thought you are gone. So I just wanted to make sure. But thank you for asking and putting these questions. It is very nice. And so we do respect Jesus Christ as, but not like that he is Krishna himself. He went to India for 12 years. To different places, and he learned Krishna Bhakti, but he could not preach that directly. So he preached this philosophy, simple philosophy in the term of you should behave with your, like there are 10 commandments. But top commandment is that we should, they should love their neighbor, and you should behave in the same way as you would like to be behaved. So those are simple activity that any human being on an elevated platform should do it. Higher than that, so once one is a pure devotee of Jesus Christ, he will come to Krishna consciousness automatically, because that gives love of Godhead. And who is God is clearly explained in Vedic Shastra. Just like I came from India to here to learn medical science more and more. So it is not that same thing. Krishna consciousness could be accepted by, it is a higher knowledge. Because it gives you direct relation of the soul to the Paramatma and to the Supreme Lord, and where he lives, and more direct teaching about the Lord and his love, what it entails. But going through Christianity to this is easy. People who are worships like Joseph and Mother Mary, and they are worshipping some higher authority, and so that is a higher principle.
Okay, it explains it pretty well, and it really touches upon what I thought. You know, getting your input really was helpful.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining and for expressing your thoughts. And so, thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, yeah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I think we should tell you it's late night.
Okay, it's a long time. But it's very nice questions, very heart-to-heart talk, and that should be there. That should be the purpose of this conference call, that we could reveal our mind and receive the, just discuss together to come to what Krishna wants us to do. So for proper understanding, these things are needed. Not that anybody or anybody's authority, neither me nor anybody else. Authority is Krishna and the 12 Mahajana or whatever given in pages of Bhagavatam, but we take it seriously and learn from each other. Okay, Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.
Yes, this is Saveshma, Vancha Kalpataru Besha, Kripa Sindhu Bevacha.
Namo namaha.
Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda ki jai.
Shila Prabhupada ki jai.